RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
Melanie Cole's Health Radio. It's radio that's good for you.
If you've ever tried to lose weight, you know how frustrating it can be. You're trying all these trial and error diets. You've tried every diet in the book and the cabbage food diet, you know, cabbage soup diet. You've tried the Mediterranean and you've tried the Atkins and you've tried all of these, but maybe you're just not listening or utilizing your body's ability to metabolize food as well. Have you ever tried eating according to your blood type? My guest today is Dr. Peter Diadamo, and he is a naturopathic physician, author, and researcher and educator. Welcome to the show. So what is the blood type diet? People have heard this before, but what actually is it?
Well, it got the name blood type diet because I wrote a book called Eat Right for Your Type about 20 years ago. And I guess it's just kind of stuck with it. But the idea is actually pretty simple, that we have four basic blood types that determine our ABO type. You know, people can be O, they can be A, they can be B, or they can be AB. And although most people are aware that blood types will sort of mess up a transfusion if they put the wrong type of blood into somebody, which automatically ought to argue for the fact that these things are important, most people don't realize that the blood type chemicals that are on our red blood cells that cause transfusion reactions are also very extensively distributed through our digestive tract, where they interact with the lining. And so there's a lot of interactions, let's say, between the bacteria in our body and between certain elements in our diet, certain types of proteins that interact chemically in a way that differs from people according to their blood type. A food that might, for instance, cause a reaction in a person who's blood type A would have no reaction in a person of a different blood type, and vice versa. So that became the beginning of the idea. But blood types are just so significant and so widely distributed that we also know that there's a variety of diseases that are actually more common in certain blood types than in others. And it's interesting that many of the components of the suggestions for, let's say, type A or type O fit very nicely into what we consider to be the preventive nutritional strategies for the diseases that they're also prone to get.
So we hear about you mentioned type O, type A, type B, and type AB, and then people hear negative and positive. And so how does, whether you're B positive or AB positive or O negative, does that affect what you eat diet-wise?
That's a great question, and it's the most commonly asked question. What's the positive and negative mean? And it turns out that that's the rhesus system. It's another blood typing system independent of ABO. Turns out there's actually about 300 different blood types that a person carries, but the ABO system is the only one where you have such widespread distribution in the tissues. For instance, certain organs can't be transplanted because of ABO differences. There's differences in the ability to be resistant to certain viruses, certain cancers. So even though there are many different blood types, the ABO system is the one that has the most profound difference in the tissues. It's sort of like the 800-pound gorilla. The Rh system is significant if you have, let's say, an incompatibility between a mom and a fetus, but it is really a true blood type. It doesn't exist outside of the bloodstream, whereas ABO is distributed all over the place. You could get it in your saliva and vaginal fluids and semen and perspiration, sweat, tissues, mucus, you name it. It's all over the place.
Okay, so based on our different blood types, you have a thing where you've put out there, and it's on WebMD, of what type of blood what type of foods we should eat based on our. Now, I'm a B positive, Dr. Diadamo, so I'm looking at this, avoiding corn, wheat, buckwheat, lentils, tomatoes. Now, to me, you know, and I've been in nutrition all my life, and I'm an exercise physiologist, and lentils and buckwheat, tomatoes, sesame seeds, I don't completely understand why I should be avoiding lentils or tomatoes if I'm really trying to diet and lose weight.
Well, a lot of the foods that are given values in the system are because the food contains proteins that react directly with the tissues of one blood type or another. For instance, you'll notice in the diet, we don't recommend a whole lot of chicken for people who are blood type B. That's because chicken contains a protein that if you use it in a laboratory situation will cause actually the blood cells of people who are blood type B to stick together and agglutinate. Now, you can say to yourself, okay, what about turkey? And the reality is that turkey doesn't possess the same protein. So something so similar that you would think, well, what's the difference between chicken and turkey? Once you factor in blood type, you can see that there is actually differences. These are proteins that are called lectins, and they're found in grains, and they're found in all sorts of beans and seeds, and sometimes in muscle meats as well. And the word lectin is Latin for I choose. They're very choosy molecules, for instance. So a lectin in a food that would agglutinate my type A blood would probably not react with you, but there might be something in you that might not react with me. Now, the reality of the whole thing is it's kind of a sort of sliding scale. When our digestive tracts are healthy and happy, we have a built-in amount of tolerance for many of these foods. So in essence, I don't tell people to get terribly religious about the values, but to just factor them in. Maybe I should not eat so much of this, or maybe I should be aware that this is something I should not overconsume. However, when people become ill or they become sick, the lining of the digestive tract starts to change in its characteristics, and they become even more sensitive to these foods. So a great bellwether as to whether or not this diet theory is useful is to actually look at just how much sickness you're trying to deal with, because paradoxically enough, the sicker you are, the more these food choices are going to have significance and benefit.
And that would make sense, too. And you mentioned supplements, and, you know, when you say if your immune system is good, if your digestive system is good, so do you recommend probiotics and to strengthen all of that so that then, and to keep that good flora so that we can digest bits of these things so that they don't affect us quite so much as they might, as you say, as if we were in a sick state?
Yes, and actually the single biggest influence on the composition of the bacteria inside your digestive tract is your blood type. So that, for instance, there are strains of bacteria that are going to be found in concentrations 50,000 times greater in your digestive tract than in mine. And the reason being is that bacteria like to eat right for their blood type as well. That they take a lot of the, for instance, your blood type chemical is just a carbohydrate that lines the digestive tract. And over the course of evolution, certain strains of bacteria have developed a preference for metabolizing one particular blood type carbohydrate over another. And so they'll grow preferentially in that. Now, the other thing is we have antibodies against the other blood types. So, for instance, I couldn't get blood from you because I'm an A and you're a B. Those antibodies tend to also restrict which bacteria can grow inside of us, because if I was a bacteria who looked like blood type A and I was unlucky enough to get into your system, I would have a hard time, because your immune system is programmed to not like things that look like blood type A. And so in the most recent studies on the microbiome, the thing that comes up again and again is that when we start looking at different characteristics, what they call enterotypes, we see that many of the genetics involved with blood type are conditioning effects on the specifics of the microbiome. So actually, there's big rationale to actually being able to want to tailor that kind of stuff as well to some specifics. And 20 years ago, I wrote this book. There was no such thing as personalized medicine. There was no such thing as nutrigenomics. And it really is a simple gene when you think about it. It's a gene that...
Well, it is. And I'm sorry, we're out of time, Dr. D'Adamo, and it's such a fascinating, absolutely fascinating topic. Do you want to say the name of your book? We only have about 10 seconds left here.
Oh, most people know it's Eat Right for Your Type. It's just all over the place.
Yeah, Eat Right for Your Type, and it's such a neat thing, something to investigate, something to learn about. Of course, you're hearing about it right here on Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well and stay tuned.